This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
With George Danikian and George Kotsanis on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
G2, it's that time of the week, the Pioneers time. And you know that wonderful opener that you've managed to create over the past year and a half? And it features all those wonderful names that were a big part of our football life, our football vision, our football memories. There's one name that you didn't include, and I tell you what.
What?
You should be shot, because what you've managed to do is, although you've encapsulated the essence of our football at that time, you missed one of the most exciting footballers to grace football fields in Australia.
I'll tell you what.
Who lit a fuse every time he went down the left wing of some of the biggest stadiums in Australia.
So tick for winger.
Oh, mate, I was just going to say, how could you miss Chris Kalantzis?
Well, I'll tell you two things. I've always shared the credit with Ralph, haven't I? So now I'm going to blame Ralph. Yeah, so that's why Chris isn't
because
in the intro.
Because Kalantzis should have been one of the first on board, buddy.
As you say Kalantzis and as I say Kalantzis.
Yeah.
Listen, good evening, Chris.
Chris, yasu, mate.
Yasu, how are you?
Mate, good to have a proper winger on board.
Mate. Thanks. No problem.
Listen, many people don't know, but I'm old enough to remember
a lot of things.
Your first game and many of those opening games of that first season of yours when you were dashing down the wing and people were going, who is that kid? And it was like watching lightning or watching Mercury, you know, being corralled. You can't do it, and the defences couldn't do it. And you had this magic way of me being able to score some terrific goals and setting up some even better ones.
Yeah, it was...
special time, eh?
Well, back then, I think the football was a little bit... it was very counter-attackish. Like, everyone... The new style was, you know, from the midfield or from the back, you know, get out straight to the wings or, you know, push the ball forward. So... that was pushed a lot by also Eddie Thompson to me at that time, and also Frank Arrock. But it was a fast game. You had to be quick, you know. You had to be quick from the midfield up. Otherwise, you'd get caught out. I mean, the backs weren't as fast, but very strong.
Knew how to tackle you from the knees down, huh?
Yeah, well, back then it was a little bit different, you know, so... But strong boys, you know, built and maybe not, like I said, not as quick, but, you know, you're just looking at them. It was just hard enough trying to get past them. You had to be quick and you had to have a good leap, I suppose, yeah.
No worries. What we do, Chris, normally, first question or second question, if George lets me get at it, is we ask our guests if what their very first football memory was. Can you recall what your very first football memory was?
What, as a youngster?
Yeah,
or just
absolutely.
As an event?
Absolute first thing
first
you remember.
First time.
Yeah.
Were you two or three or 4 years of age?
Well, I was kicking the ball at that age. I've got mum's got photos of that against the wall at Surry Hills in the city when we moved there. I was a youngster there growing up. I didn't have much parks, but I was kicking it up against the wall definitely for hours.
That's the best friend for a footballer.
Yeah, that's definitely. That's what I tell a lot of parents when they ask me. I say, you know, if your kid's not kicking the ball against the brick wall on his spare time, you know, and carrying it around like I did, you know, like to churches, to weddings and, you know, parties and stuff like that.
But
that's,
Greek school.
You know, that's where the 10,000 or more hours come into play. You know, you need... You're never going to play football if you're just doing it, you know, just with your 2 weeks, 2 days a week and with your club, you know, you've got to have all that extra time. You've got to be kicking around. Otherwise, you just, it's not going to happen. You know, you can look at all big sportsmen. They don't, it's not just the last minute thing. You've just become a footballer or a basketballer or when your mates were around and with you and, you know, they went somewhere else and you went and kicked around and then, you know, you didn't go to bed as late and, you know, you did sort of, you woke up in the morning and did more kicking and more. Well, everyone just gets left behind, don't they?
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's only natural. There's no other way. There's no magic wand or that's what it is, putting the hours in. And if you can have a little bit of talent, you can be quick or you can have some specialty. But at the end of the day, if you're not out there doing it, you know, with passion for a lot of hours, but it has to come within the actual person, not from his dad or for his mum. You know, that helps, you know, you get that strength, but
the support,
if you don't have it in you yourself just to grab the ball and do it, you know, it doesn't matter what they say, others say. They can help and push along, but at the end of the day, if you're not kicking it, it's not going to happen, you know.
Juggling it, caressing it, sleeping with it.
That's right. Everything. Back to school, on the way to school, returning, you know, lunchtimes in the gym, doing those extra kicks, getting lads together, kicking around, you know, finding out weak spots, working out so many things, you know, where you can't just rock up to, you know, to a training session for an hour and then think, you know, a 1 year passes, 2, 3, 4. If you're not doing the extra, it'll catch up. And at the end of the day, when you're on the field, there's nowhere to hide. You know, you can't just sort of say, oh, yeah, I this, I that, I that. When 80,000, 90,000 are watching, where are you going to hide? There's nowhere to hide.
We're talking to Chris Kalantzis, who's our pioneer on FNR, G1 and G2, doing the interview. The interesting thing listening to you speak, Chris, is just how Aussie you are and how much time you spent in the heart of the biggest football audience in Greece, Panathinaikos and Olympiakos. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But you got a fantastic start. When did you learn that you wanted to nutmeg someone?
Oh, I didn't really care as much as a lot of other... My mates did. I wasn't really, you know, they were looking to take the piss, I suppose, but I was looking for the quickest way to get past you, you know, and do the job. I wasn't very, you know, most of the slower players, you know, different style, maybe sort of wanted to try and nutmeg, but my style was just getting forward, just knocking the ball past you and getting through you, you know what I mean? There's no tricks about it.
No, just because, but you went past you at only, a million miles an hour.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're playing against, you know, good players, you know, opposites, and, you know, it's not about nutmegging, you know, there's no, none of that. They can do a bit of that at training or something to take it out of someone, but
Chris,
wouldn't be doing that.
I've been
seriously,
telling George for 75 episodes the opposite, and now you've just gone and shot me down.
Yeah,
but you're right. You're right. This is why you That'd played at the right. top level and I didn't.
Chris, yeah. where did you start? Did you start at Sydney Olympic or Pan Hellenic?
No, it was Sydney Olympic then, 90, and it would have been 83, 80, no, early 80s, yeah.
Yep.
No, Pan Hellenic was much a little bit earlier
yeah,
than
it was,
that.
It was. In fact, the year you were born was the year that Manchester United... won the European title and came to Australia to show off their stars.
Yes.
Including Georgie Best.
Someone saying that. Yes, that's right.
So exactly. Where did you play your junior football? At Olympic or?
No, junior as a youngster of the Canterbury Association.
Yep.
Played the Belmore, you know, at Rudd Park there with the Belmore Hercules it was then.
Near the Greek church, not far from the Greek church at Belmore.
No, not far from the Greek church.
I got married in that church. Go easy.
yeah. No, it's a very nice church.
Beautiful.
And then at around 14, yeah, it was spotted. Then it was the dad and the son, Yukonov or something. Yeah, that they were training the Olympic juniors at that time, and I got selected. And they said, oh, you're very fast, but you need to work on your, you know, tactical sort of. So I worked on that a little bit. And then, yeah, from then on, you know, the 14s, 15s, Olympics, 16s, and then straight to 18s. No, from the 15s straight to the under 20s. And then because we had Tommy Docherty, Manchester United's ex-manager here at Olympic at the time. And he had watched one of my youth games at the under-15s and then pushed me straight up to the 20s. That's where I met Terry Patalis, Jim Patekas, and, you know, a few of the other boys, because I was much younger than them.
Yep.
And then played a game, scored a goal in Canberra at Bruce Stadium, came back. And then he said, oh, this is Tommy. He said, oh, I think, you know, you might have fluked that one. You know, he goes, come to training first grade. So I went the following week to first grade. You know, I was whipping past them, you know, with Jennings. At that time,
jeez,
on the left, yeah. And then he said, oh, you know, let's start you up on the Sunday. And I was only 15 playing first grade. So it doesn't happen very often. But like I said, all that kicking against the wall and, you know, taking the ball everywhere and juggling and getting a real feel of it, I suppose that's what pushed me along, because nothing else would have really. You know, you need... At the end of the day, you need to make the football and yourself as one. If you're not as one, if it can't be your best mate or your girlfriend or your wife or someone very close, it's not going to happen. It won't like you.
No, you're right. You're right. You need to glide with it like Bezekas and Boniek before you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When you were 15 and you got the call up, I just want to know, just from the first training call up to the 18, what were your thoughts?
To the 20s, yeah.
Well, no, the next step up. So when he said, come and train with the
big
18,
boys, with Jennings and those.
Yeah, back then it wasn't really 18s. It went straight to the 20s.
Yeah, okay. So you're in this. Yeah. But when you got called up now to train with the Jenningses of the world and do that.
And you're 15. Yeah.
What was your thought process? Were you intimidated? Were you thinking to yourself, I'm ready? What was going through your mind?
No, not at all. Not at all. Just really excited. I thought, I can do this, you know. You know, I was... You know, keep telling myself that, you know, you're fast, you know, they're a little bit older, yeah, but they're a little bit slower, you know, Sauroscopolis, a little bit chubby.
Yeah, easy target. Hey, Rasko's listening, go easy.
Quite a few players, like I said, were big built, were a little bit slower back then, but, you know, had the strength. But, you know, I worked out a way, you know, I went to training and, you know, went really good in all the sprints and all the, you know, the moves and the different trainings that we were doing. And then always had at the end of training, you know, half hour or so, 40 minutes of a run, and was going really well there. And I built on that, I think. I just built on confidence and, hey, you can do this, you know. Don't think too much. Just do, you know. You do, and the people that are out there, they're gonna say it for you, you know.
Yeah. What was Tommy Docherty's advice at the time?
Oh, on the left, on the flank, son. Get on your bike.
Get your ass on the line. Get your ass wide.
On the line. Yeah. And if he said, if you can cheat and you can step one foot over, he goes, do it.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'd take a step out and then, you know, make a run straight in towards the goal sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he was, don't
he was
worry
good
about
for you.
Coming in.
He was good for you? Good for your game?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. At 15, he was the one that gave me that chance.
Mm. What about the senior players?
Eddie Thompson and all that, Frank Garrick, they came a bit later.
Yeah.
You know, I was under Manfred Schaefer at that time at Olympic.
Yeah, I remember Manfred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good guy. Really good guy.
Yeah, really cool, sort of calm, never really looked stressed. He was really good, yeah. He had his own ways. But
Correct.
You know, yeah.
He was a gentleman. A gentle giant. Tell me something. Yeah. What did mum and dad say? Chris at the time?
Oh, about that. Well, they were really, you know, excited and, you know, trying to pamper me, I think. But I was sort of, you know, I didn't really need that. I never had a massage, never had my ankle strapped. This is my whole career in Olympic.
No shin pads?
No shin pads at the start. But going overseas, I had to put the shin pads on, but you know, I had to wait ages, like just looking at all these people getting straps on their ankles, straps on their knees. I go, how do you feel free? Like, how can you step? It's like you're wearing ballerina shoes. like, you know, what are you doing? And they're all like, oh, I've had a bit of an... Oh. I said, that's because you always, you know, hold it so, you know...
Protecting it.
...in area that, you know, you need to let it free and let the muscles build and do their own job. Okay, you got all this plaster around you and all this... I said, yeah, I mean, they got away with it, but they weren't swinging and swaying as, you know, like I or some other players do that don't, you know... I think it's part of it. It's like surfing, going to surf on a surfboard and strapping your ankle, having everything. If you can't twist your ankles to turn and, you know, and not and get in out of things and step off the ground, you know, and all that. I mean, natural is always better.
Speaking of natural, we had Goran Lozanowski in here a few months ago, and we were talking about his technique for crossing. It was kind of David Beckham-like, but it was very whippy. He used to really put some pace on it, very side on, whatever. Now, I recall you had that with your left foot. You had a very good one. You almost had the ability not to need to take the fullback on because you could curl it with that left, almost past the fullback without actually beating him. And I recall that. Is that something that you
learnt
yourself or taught yourself? Just practice? Because you seem to have some flexibility in that left leg that no other left winger had.
No, practice a lot with my brother or my dad in the park. Just, you know, a couple of hours a night, you know, and every night. And
every
then after training, I'd still go home and then maybe do another little bit more or go to play a little bit of basketball, work on my ankles, spring, jumping. You know, that's how I got so good at heading because I was out heading a lot of the boys at that age.
Cross training.
And I had Nick Sotherakopoulos saying, you know, the only person that's ever jumped higher than me, he goes, was you. and he still says it when I see him. He's like, you know, you were 15 and you were out springing, you know. So I mixed a bit of basketball, a bit of soccer. I played a little bit of tennis to, you know, for a little bit of sprint work. I think at the end of the day, by 18, 19, that all came together. You know, I did a lot of swimming, like with like snorkeling, flipper work, and you know, spearfishing, and I think by that age, all that combination sort of helps you later.
And that age was about the time you went over to Russia for the World Youth Championships. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
That was a really big experience. First time going overseas. You know, I had to have ox's tongues for lunch and, you know, their rear ends, some balls, some this. And I couldn't. So that 2 weeks was hell for me. But we were sponsored. Luckily we were sponsored by Coca-Cola. And they gave us all these Cokes in our, you know, in this big room. And I was just going in there and I was just filling up with Coca-Cola.
Oh, gee.
Some of their hard bread and a few cheeses, but that's it, I suppose.
No, really. You weren't experimental with your food then at all? Didn't enjoy it?
No, I had nothing.
Mate, if Mum's not cooking, he's not eating.
No.
What are your memories of the on-the-field stuff?
Really good, you know, like playing against some of the countries, you know, they had a lot of supporters there, you know, Nigerians and Egyptians and things and... Like some of the countries were really advanced in the supporting wise, you know, like with their drums and really getting in there, and that was exciting. You know, we had, I think it was Nigeria played the drums from the first second till the last second continuously and playing with that tone after never having, you know, just having, you know, a few supporters calling or, you know, at Olympic game and that, then you just get this rumbling of drums and, you know, that's different again. But it was an experience. It was a very good experience.
Tell us about one of your teammates, Big Aki. Got any dirt on him?
On who?
Big Aki. Kotsamichalis.
Oh, Aki's. Yeah. He was strong. He was a big boy. Like, it was good. I had a roommate then. I think it was, well, at that time, we were going to China with Australia playing. I had Maxwell, is it Steve Maxwell?
From Adelaide City.
From Adelaide.
Big
boy. He's
a big boy.
And we had a bit of good time with him. A few of the other guys, Charlie Yankos, you know, had a bit of fun.
What was Yankos like, Chris?
always talkative, you know, at dinner. He'd be the one. He was like a captain, you know. He was always start things, finish stuff. And so I suppose he had it in him.
Yeah. What about playing against him when you played against him?
I was very strong. Yeah, one of those.
You just run past him, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's what I had to do. If I was too close, I was
in trouble.
You know, it'd be like hitting a stump. His thighs were like, you know, big tree stumps.
Yeah, correct. Very good. Very good analysis, that one.
Had a very strong, powerful kick, you know, took free kicks from distances, you know. But I suppose, you know, everyone had their style. But going, I think, to Europe and going at that time, you needed to be quick. I suppose you still have to be now quick. You know, it's one of the main sort of things, whether you're a defender, a midfielder, or a striker, you've got to be quick.
Yeah. Speed kills. So
you can't say, oh, I'm a defender like they used to. Oh, I'm a defender. I'm a little bit slower, so I'll play at the back. And then, oh, I'm a medium sort of guy. I'll run a little bit, don't run much, but I can defend a little bit. You know, the midfielder and the fast guys go up front, you know. So, but now you'll see that, you know, defenders are just as far, just as quick, you know. So I think it's one of the most important things to be good on your feet, stable, you know, well balanced, you know, being able to take a tilt and then, you know, recover quickly, having strong sort of muscles.
Yeah, so you played in you played in that great Olympic team when you started. You mentioned a few names.
Rasco,
Patikas, Catholos, and it went on and on. Which would have made your life easier?
I'll tell you who made it a bit easier when Estavillo came.
Yeah, Vincent Estavillo, yeah.
Vincenzo, He had that something different that, you know, I hadn't seen.
And in what way? I know it was technique, but how did that help you?
Technique and just looking, you know, Catholos and a few guys had that as well, you know, looking the distance. But this guy wouldn't take as long.
Vision.
And if there was a gap, he saw the gap. If it took a second too late, he wouldn't pass it, where anyone else would just still try and pass it.
So had that extra poise and composure.
Four, five, 10, 20, 30 times, you know, training and playing and all that, I thought, wow. Is this what it's like playing against, you know, like really good, better players?
Yep.
And then I thought, well, you know, that's what I realised when I went to Greece and went into their trainings. I thought, you know, I'm fast. I've got this. I've got that, you know. But they just kept sucking me in, you know, like lifting your head up, trying to pass the ball, that intercepted. I go, you know, like just got to be a little bit quicker or just watch a little bit earlier, you know, like take all those senses and times them by three. And it happened. It happened pretty quick. I reckon it happened in about 3 months. And then I was just as I was here, there with them, jumped another level easy, really quick.
So what are your memories?
Made my life easy.
What are your memories of just as you were finishing? What was the start of wanting to go? And at what point did you see that it was going to happen to go overseas?
Well, when both Olympiacos and Panathinaikos had scouts out here looking at games at St. George Stadium, Pradham Park, they were out here looking for, I think it was about 6 weeks.
So they were doing some homework,
yeah? Yeah, and then I got after a game at St. George Stadium. I think it might have been Malid or someone, but guy from Olympiacos came up with a ticket and said, you know, get on the next flight. You come, the president's going to be waiting for you. And you can blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, you know, I said, Mum, Dad, you know, what do I do? You know, it's a good chance. You've got to, you know, we'll go over. And then, you know, if everything goes well, you know, don't worry, we'll be there. And if it happens, you know.
We'll support you.
So then I got on a plane with Tom Demarnis.
Who's a lawyer?
Got to the airport. He was the president at the time of the Sydney Olympic. So he was my manager as well.
Yep.
Got to Athens airport, waiting in line. I get a tap on the shoulder. Chris, can you come with me? I had my passport in my hand, ready. Tom was behind me. Tom goes, what are you doing? Where are you going? I said, I don't know.
He said, you're just following this guy.
Yeah, so he waited in passport control. I went out a side gate, got into a limo.
Were you scared at any point? Were you worried at any point?
They said your parents, don't worry, you're going to go where your parents are.
They're waiting for you.
Okay.
They're waiting for
you. So where do you think they took him?
Well, I went straight into a big black car, took about 15, 20 minutes, got onto a marina, got onto this big boat where the president of now, not Olympiacos that bought my tickets, president of Panathinaikos, who does, he's an oil guy, does all the
Vardianis.
Oil. Vardiloyanis.
Yeah.
And they opened the door for me. I walk in and who do I see? Vardiloyanis and my parents sitting together. So it was a bit of, you know, I said, but Olympiacos has paid the tickets. And I looked outside and there was red and white flags everywhere and everyone was screaming. And I said, and I've come here to a green and white, territory. I said, I'm not going to do anything today. I have to at least speak with them tomorrow because, they're going to want to get in contact with me from here. Because they knew where I was staying at Peristeri in Athens with one of my uncles. So I get there to Peristeri and Olympiacos is there.
Supporters.
Yeah, Deifa was there. Lola Deifa was there. Christaki, Elapano. So I said, okay. We went upstairs, sat down. I said, Diegine, what happened at the airport?
I missed you.
I don't know. I lost Tom. I don't know where anyone is. Can you call him? Tell him I'm at home with my uncle, where we are now, you guys. I said, I'm worried, the guy doesn't know where I am. So she said, look, we'll offer you this, blah, 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 5 years, and so, whatever. I said, look, I won't make any decision now. I've just come. I need to rest, and we'll talk in a few days. So I ended up signing with Panathinaikos, the green and white, the ones that didn't pay my ticket over.
Did you pay that ticket back?
No, the club does. Yeah, they pay back.
They're still looking for Tom Demanis, by the way. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it took him about 3 days, but it was all right. I ended up, the funny thing is, I made history in Greece by being the first ever to leave Panathinaikos to go to Olympiacos, first in history. And I was getting threats and, I had to hide for a couple of weeks and they were saying, oh, he's going to get you, he's going to this, he's going to... I said, oh, tell him, I don't care, I'm an Aussie, I'll be fine, don't worry. I said, if he's not going to offer what the others are, tell him I'm not going to, I told him I'm not going to deal with it. And he thought I'd go back, but then I didn't, and there was dramas. But I ended up going back to Olympiacos, which was, a highlight. I was 25. Played a lot of games, scored a lot of goals and played with some fantastic players. It was just after the Skorskota times. So, there was a lot of dramas, but, we were building the team. There was Detari at the time, Funes at that time, then Protasov I had at that time, Litochenko, Ilya Ivic, at Olympiacos, a lot of these are players, you just train with them every day and you think, oh my God, are they from another planet? They just do some extra little things, They would have spent a lot of time doing that, But, there are some things that, you can be talented, but talented, what does that mean? Does talent come from training so many hours, what are you born with? Are you born and you're quick? Okay, that's an advantage, but you still got to do a bit of football, and you still got to kick the ball. You got to, do all that stuff. It doesn't come too easy, I think, for anyone.
Chris Kalantzis is our very special guest on the Pioneers, a young Australian born in this country, but had the great joy and the great pleasure to play for two of the biggest clubs in Greece, for both Panathinaikos and for Olympiacos. And, of course, started off his career as a 15-year-old with Sydney Olympic, no less, a side that was galvanised by a guy called Doherty and Eddie Thompson before that. And it was filled with some terrific talent. Young Spiridakos, who changed his name to make it easy to say, called Dakos. Let's go back to Greece for a moment. You've just had five fabulous years with Panathinaikos. You've now made the move to Olympiacos. Tell me about the first derby you played.
Well, yeah, that was actually, now that you said it, that was probably the highlight of my whole career.
You think? You want to tell everyone what happened?
Yeah, having to walk out, you know, with all my ex-teammates after 5 years, or, you know, my roommates thinking, you know, and side by side. You've only got like a meter side by side, and some are looking you a little bit funny, you know, some are grinning, some are, you know, I was looking at Louis. I had Louis Christodoulou right opposite me in a green and white shirt. You know, I had Yannis Kalitzakis, who was, you know, we were very close. Donis. But
was this at Karaiskaki?
No, it was at Panathinaikos Stadium.
Which is even more, intimidating.
It was.
So just take us through, how did you go in that game?
Yeah, quite good. We won 2-1, but I did a scissor kick. I think you could see it on YouTube and that. But it was quite a really good goal outside the box, scissor kick, and scored against Vuncic. And sometimes we're on Facebook together, and sometimes we communicate. And if you watch the video, you read his lips, because I taught him how to say F and hell. So if you read his lip, if you watch, you can see him. You know, we always talk about it. We laugh. I go, you know, because I used to miss a goal, or Louis used to miss a kick at training, and we used to say, you know, I F and L, you know. And the Polish, you know, Wazecha and Vuncic, sort of, you know, they like sort of that English sort of, you know, swearing and all that. And we got along. It was good, you know. But it was really good. You know, I had the chance to score that goal, which is, you know, I scored, you know, a few goals, but that one was something different. And I think that'll stay, forever, that one.
Chris Kalantzis, that's an iconic moment in your career. And it stuck a dagger in the hearts of all the Panathinaikos supporters.
Yeah,
but did you make yourself a big name for all the Olympiakos supporters, though?
Yeah, well, with the Olympiakos supporters, it was sort of more of revenge for them. You know, like,
at the airport?
Yeah, because I was being pinched, and they knew that, you know, that Vardiloyan had done the dirty. And they were sort of taking it the other way now. They were saying, there you go, we got him back, you know, sort of thing. So it was a battle like that. But I dealt all right with both fans, you know. I was quite easygoing, you know, never really said anything bad or anything about anyone or anything, sort of trotted along, you know, like us Aussies, and didn't really make too much waves. So I sort of got along with everyone.
Chris, can you compare playing at Karaiskaki or Panathinaikos Stadium to some of the big games you played in Australia in your days with Sydney Olympic?
With Sydney Olympic, definitely, against Haukoa, those Sydney City, those times. Sydney United, you know, there were some really good games with St. George, the finals at Parramatta Stadium where I took my jersey off, I think, at the last seconds after scoring the winner.
When you did an Aloisi.
You did an Aloisi, or did Aloisi do a Kalantzis?
No, I was much earlier than Aloisi. I didn't even know who he was then.
No one knew who he was then.
Oh, dear.
No. You were definitely first.
Good times, yeah.
We'll take a...
But
we'll
it's good that we can, you know, like, there's social media and internet and all that now, and, you know, I'm picking up games that I didn't have on, you know, videos, because I've got a lot of videos from all my games, but, you know, you put a date in, you know, on YouTube, and bang, you know, you've got all these games. So... That's quite good, yeah.
Chris, can you, just before we take a short break and come back to talk to Chris Kalantzis about what was a fabulous career, both here and overseas, the thing that fascinates me is, if you think about all the memories and the opportunities that you've had, the thing that you can't get away from, and we mustn't get away from, when you watch these games back, do you put yourself immediately back in that moment? Can you do that, or is it just you watch it as I would, for example, as a viewer?
No, as an individual, as yourself,
you can go back. Does it make you feel go back?
yeah, there is that feeling. That's that connection. That's why you need that. You need to have, you know, to see those here and there, and whether it's, you know, for mentally or physically, or, you know.
You mean as you remember it.
All of us have got some sort of footage of something that we put here and there, or, you know, just to sort of get back in line again and sort of get, you know, sort of take a breather and that. I mean, I think that everyone has got that something. You know, we've all done something, and we're all sort of must be proud of, you know, and you know, everything gets passed on. We have kids and then grandkids, and, you know, so I'm there now. I've got two grandkids, and
oh, bless them.
You know, you start seeing a lot of things, and, you know, as we get older, that's why they say you never keep learning. You know, that's life.
That's absolutely life. We'll take a break. We'll come back very shortly. This is The Pioneers on FNR with Chris Cullenzis.
Bucianis, no call! Score!
Salamidi for Cole. Cole on the run. Shoots. 2-0.
Lazanowski with the free kick. Launches a rocket!
Trimboli, what vision!
Marth blasts.
Yes! That's it!
Miljevic.
Beautiful ball!
Here's Mazanic.
The Pioneers with George Danikian and George Kotsanis on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Pioneers, Thursday night, G1, G2 in the studio, speaking live to our special pioneer.
Reminiscing with Chris Cullenzis.
Socceroo Chris Cullenzis. Yes.
I want to know about his first game for Australia. Chris, can you remember it? You want to take us back to that first moment when they said to you, you're playing, and who was it that gave you the Guernsey? Was it Thompson, or was it
Frank Arrock.
Who were you playing against, my boy?
Those days we were playing. Do you remember when Everton came out?
And yep.
In Melbourne.
Yes, yeah. And we went to a penalty shootout at Olympic Park. I do. Yes, it was a draw, and Charlie scored the penalty.
It was around that time. We had a few games. I don't remember what the other games were, but I remember that being, because that was one of my first flights, with the team, and yeah, like it would have been around about that time.
So you would have Cosmina in that team. Was he still hanging
Cosmina,
around?
Cosmina, yeah, yeah. Cosmina, Graham Arnold.
Were you intimidated?
No, like I said, like before,
confident.
Yeah, just confident, really confident. Like, I don't think I ever doubted myself. I doubt myself every day now.
Well, you used up all that positivity, my boy.
Oh, I must have burnt it, you know, crazy, you know. But that's what it is. That's what it's like. Intimidated, you know, like, no, just get in there and just go for it.
Ready,
you know?
To go. Beautiful.
I mean, what's there to lose? Like, they're not going to eat you. They're not going to harm you. And, you know, if you put more strength, you know, you go into a tackle, if you're 50-50, you know, you're going to come out a loser all the time. If you're going to go in, you're going to do something, you've got to go 100% because there's no failure. Or you limit the failure. You know, so I was constantly at that high sort of sense that, you know, you've got to go in, and you go in hard. There's no half. There's no, you know, there's push, you know.
And I guess playing
And there you would see a lot of mistakes and lackings from others, you know, and you thrive on that and you build on that. You eat them away. That's how you got to be.
Very good. A little bit the difference between the NSL and the Greek First Division when you first went. What was the difference, and
tremendous.
How did you notice? And how long did it take you to, say, adjust?
You said 3 months.
Like I was saying earlier, it was incredible. You know, I thought I was quick. You know, I had all that. I was on my – I was peaking. And I went there, and then, you know, like I said, I started training. You know, you don't just go play straight away. You need to train for months. There's medicals.
Yep.
There's, you know, a lot of things. So,
did you think you were ready when you got there?
No, I was a bit scared. Heck, a bit, you know, like, oh, I had a little bit of, you know, like, geez, these guys, you know, look, they're stopping the ball and they're passing it really quick. And, you know, there's no mistakes. No one's making mistakes. And, you know, I said, oh, we always had four or five guys that stumble it, you know, then you just go pinch it. But if
that,
everyone does, if they don't do that, what do you got to do? You have to start working other things out, you know, like start getting your brain working. Start thinking, how am I going to beat this? All right, I'm going to take a step ahead. When they get the ball and they control the ball, I'll be looking at them and I'll be sussing what they're going to do with it rather than, you know, like being, you've got to really focus on what's this guy doing, you know?
So you were doing that on your own, though. That's the point.
Yeah, of course.
You didn't have anyone behind you mentoring you and saying, hey, mate, we'll give you a chance here, because you were still a foreigner, right, and as far as they're concerned?
No, still a foreigner, but no one's gonna really help you. Oh, hey, how you going? Oh, you're from Australia. How's Australia? Oh, yeah.
That's my point. Yeah.
You've got kangaroos and koala. Oh, yeah, we've got kangaroos. After, they don't care. If you're on the pitch and they can take the ball off you, they're going to take it off you.
Yeah.
They're not going to feel sorry for you because there's 22 players and only 11 play start.
Yeah, but you had that inside you. You were already learning on the job, right? And you decided that yourself that – this isn't. You didn't think this is too hard. I want to go home. This is whatever.
I did have difficult times. We all have that.
Of course.
You know, you have to go through that. Nothing came on a plate. It was hard. You know, it was.
But you fought through it on your own. That's the point, isn't it?
Yes. And then, you know, I had Louis Christodoulou there. We're playing at the same time.
How did that help off the field?
That helped a lot because we'd talk and, you know, and help each other and, you know, train together and doing weights and, you know, this sort of stuff and that. You know, we spend a lot of time together. Then, you know, we got close with another few boys in the team. You know, we're only young. Mm. You know, a lot of the guys were just staying, you know, staying on their own or you know, teammate or, you know, rooming, sharing together. But I was married young straight away. We went, you know, my wife came over with me pretty much straight away.
It was a very good reason for that. She's a very beautiful young woman.
Yeah, thank you.
I can still remember.
Yeah. And in Greece, you know, the presidents were happy with that.
Oh, of course. It made for good pictures, you know, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, if I'm going to lay some money down, I'd prefer it, you know, there's someone that's single because, you know, the nightlife in Greece and you can sort of get easy, you know, extract, you know, like you can sort of, you know, there's a lot of things. But when you're married, you know, they all feel sort of comfortable. Oh, you know, he's going to stay home and he's going to, you know, have kids. And I did.
He did.
You know,
he
in those times, they were my good days. Now, as we get older, we get a little bit more, you know.
Tell
you
us about some of the great players, Chris. You had some fabulous players. Who were the ones you loved the most?
In where? In Greece?
In Greece and both in Australia.
Pidimo? Oh, well, in Australia, Terry Patalis, we're still good friends. There's Jim Patikas. They're good players. There were a lot of good players in Adelaide had good players at that time.
Tobin?
Tobin. There was another couple there.
Sergio Melter. You remember Sergio Melter?
Yes.
Charlie Villani.
They're the ones. They're the ones. Steve Maxwell, he was there at that time.
Did you ever get a chance to run past Gary Cole quickly?
No, I don't think so. When would that...
He would have been probably the early 80s.
Yeah, by the time you were playing Cole, he would have been at Preston. Although you probably would have played against him in the cup final.
Maybe. Like very early days, very early days.
Well, you were very young.
Back then, I didn't really care who was who, what was his name, who was he playing, who was...
Clearly. Very confident winger.
Absolutely. No need for nutmegs. Just get it done.
You know, that's it. That was my attitude. You know, it was just, you know, people would say, oh, you know, there's this guy. Well, I'm going to try and get there. Yeah, I'm going to try harder and higher. You know, I want everyone to sort of know my name. Or, you know, there's a drive in all that playing and, you know, building. It's all part of building, I suppose. But you need that sort of combination.
Mate, 10 right. wonderful years in Greece for you, playing, as I said earlier, for two of the biggest clubs. You played with some fantastic players, both for and against. Did the fans treat you like a Greek or an Australian?
It would have been more of Australian.
Is that right?
More
of kangaroo.
Yeah, we're called kangaroo. We're called kangaroos because even though our parents were Greek, you know, you've come from Australia. You know, like gee, you know. Yeah.
So how did you rate Saravakos?
A very good player, Saravakos. Excellent, very fast. You know, there was then Vagelis Vlachos in the midfield. There was Batsiavouras. There was...
What about Ivic?
Ivic, very good player. Excellent. Yeah.
Georgievich.
Yeah, Roza.
Yeah, some really good players. There are a couple of Polish boys you love too.
Yeah, the two, Vazecha and Vancik. They're fantastic guys. They were thinking of coming out here to Australia, to Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide to maybe do a camp. That's sort of in the future, but we've been talking about that recently with Yannick Kalidzakis also. They're training kids at the moment. Vancik Vazeka, Kalidzakis from Panathinaikos, the number five, the ninja, they used to call him.
The ninja.
Yannis. At the back, number three, number five. He was a tall guy. Took on Rush when Panathinaikos played Liverpool in 86. And he out like Yanni was. He's a fantastic defender. Yeah. There was a lot of good players. A lot of good players. Like I said, at that level, I suppose everyone sort of knew everyone at that time. Everyone had some sort of talent. But they were great days. Good days. Ake was good at the time. Ake had Patikas there. Carlos in Australia. You know Roscoe and. Patholis and Mick Cody was very, very good at that time. He was an older sort of player. I've sort of got a lot of calmness from him. Mick Cody that played at the back at Olympic. Who else was there? Nick Theracopoulos at the time. But it was good. It was good. I think, like I said earlier when we first talked, that the football was just... counter. It was all counter attack. It was exciting. It was fast. You know, not all the time, of course, but you know, there were the right times. You had Estevilla that would pick a right time. You know, you had Alan Davidson. I remember then in Melbourne. There was Ange was there as well. Postecoglou at those times.
Do you remember the contest against South Melbourne?
South Melbourne was always a contest. It was so hard to go there and play. It was just incredible, yeah.
To the old Middle Park. It was usually packed when they played Olympic.
So difficult. Yeah. So difficult, yeah. Very hard. You know, that's another thing with football, you know, where you play at home, but when you've got to go away, you know, can you play the same style? Can you play the same football? You're a different player. Can you keep it up? You know, like, that's where teams, you know, and players stand. You know, you go away from home, and you're the same person you were. No fear. Nothing stops you. Nothing bothers you. You do the job, you know. And that's where good players build, you know. Like, they come home and they're so confident they can do pretty much anything, you know. And the crowd is very important. You know, without the people, you know, how do you play?
You know, of course, you're an entertainer and you live off you breathe off their energy, don't you?
Energy, so much energy. Yeah. It's just you can just feel it, the vibration, especially being in the middle of a park and, you know, so many people just cheering, you know, the vibration. I mean, it's, you just take it in, and how can you not want to perform, you know? But then with other combinations of other things, you can make good things happen, you know?
Mate, talking about good things and some things that we experience in life, some we amaze us how we survive through them. Kerry Packer, who is one of my old bosses, had a heart attack, and I remember there's a famous quote, and they said when he almost slipped and died, They said to him, did you see anything? He said, nothing. There's nothing there. It was just blackness. But there's a remarkable tale of survival when it comes to Chris Kalantzis, and it occurred, I think, around about your 50th birthday.
50th birthday, yeah, about a year and a half now.
Yeah. Now, so tell me what happened. You went to see a cardiologist?
No. Well, no, we went for holidays to do my 50th.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
You went to Rhodes, did you? Rhodes.
We went to Rhodes, but this sort of happened. This happened in Mykonos.
Oh, of course it did. If anything's going to happen, it had to happen in Mykonos. Oh, gee.
So,
what happened?
So,
yeah, what happened?
Well, I thought, look, I was going to do some tests and stuff because Dad had a heart attack at 52. So I thought, oh, you know, after my 50s, I thought I'll do some tests, you know, and things and check things out. Anyway, I didn't, did I? I went to Greece for my 50th. So, yeah, in Mykonos, just after a really big night, a lot of alcohol, I think. But it was like from what the surgeon said, he said that, you know, first of all, it comes hereditary. You know, you should have checked on it earlier. But he said there's a blocked artery, you know. But going to Rhodes and then going to hospital, staying there for 8 days, passed away 4 times there. I couldn't believe, you know, like I was dozing on and off and I could hear the surgeon saying, you know, and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like sort of half dying and I'm like, just get a stent and put it in there. So I was pretty much going, coming, going, and then, you know, everyone was crying when I got back, you know, I had to breathe on my own. I just heard them saying, breathe, 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 you know, and taking my own sort of breaths in. But that was an experience that I don't want anyone to ever go through, nor being at home or being away. You know, so I suppose, you know, I should have gone, should have checked, you know, out earlier. But everything's good now. But it was something that, you know, could have just gone. I was gone so many times, you know.
So answer the question, Chris. Did you see anything?
What I saw was a bright light coming back and forward. 100%. Like, I used to be scared of death before it happened. I'm not scared of death anymore because of that, because of coming and going.
Fantastic.
It was so calmful, so peaceful, so quiet. It was just somewhere you want to go. That's how nice it was. And there was a light. There was a bright light. I mean, the hospitals are sort of white, but in Greece they're sort of creamish anyway. But especially in Rhodes. definitely. A big experience. Like I said, you change once you've gone there. Life's different. Not in the sense that you're scared and live life. You know, yes, you live life to the fullest because you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. No one knows when they wake up or when they go to bed. You know, something's going. You know, small could happen or something major could happen. You just got to live your life and, you know. I mean, I'm sort of still going through a little bit of a struggle with that. It was hard, especially the first year, just mentally, physically, sort of to get back. You're not the same. Your body's not the same. You come back different.
You're learning to adjust?
It'll never be the same. And I'm learning to adjust, but nowhere near what it was before. Everything changes. Your life just changes completely.
Mate, you've changed us in terms of understanding who Chris Kalantzis was and is.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to bits that you've survived and we're thrilled to bits that you chose to come back to the light. Can I just say it's been a fantastic journey. And from a young 15-year-old, you've given, and I remember being one of those many fans, whether it was Wentworth Park, whether it was Pratton Park, whether it wherever it was,
SBS.
It was just fantastic.
On SBS.
On
live.
SBS.
Yeah,
yeah,
with
early
Les
days.
Murray. Chris Kalantzis.
Yeah, Kalantzis.
The way Les Murray used to say it, if you watch some old games, he had a specialty of saying it, but he was a good man, you know.
As was
loved
Johnny
football.
Warren, yeah. They were great guys.
Johnny Warren as well. He was a nice man. Didn't mind his Karasaki.
Chris, we're going to offer for the very first time on FNR a very special edition of the Pioneers with subtitles. Let me tell you, it'll be special.
We'll be able to explain the Karasaki, the bit about the heart attack. Yeah. We might not be able to share all of that.
Krasi, you know.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick question that's coming off social media while I'm flicking through. When you were in Greece, you were there for 10 years, was there any other opportunities to go elsewhere in Europe? Did you have any chances?
There was a few times. Once in Holland on a pre-season, teams were watching us do pre-season. One was in Germany, but I was young and I just started in Greece. I didn't really want to step again, like go up another sort of step. I was pretty much comfortable where I was, you know, being a Greek, you know. I had opportunities also to go to England through Eddie Thompson and, you know, some of the other guys, but I don't know. I think it was the Greeks were just quicker, faster. I think it just happened really quick, you know, being Greek and going to Greece and playing for those teams. But I think it happened that way. It was fast. It happened really quick. They came out, you know, they must have been getting footage of games here at Olympic.
Yep.
And it just escalated really quick and they just sort of grabbed it and just took it, you know, but around that time, I remember Eddie Thompson, you know, saying and others saying, you know, you should look at going to England, you know. I would have done quite well there, you know, being a flanker at the time. And I used to watch a lot of English football growing up. I used to love watching, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, Fashanu and Hoddle, you know. Watching,
my boys,
you
know, my boys.
Yeah, you know, like at that time watching it, that was such a buzz. But, that all helped. Everything helps at the end.
Well, you've helped us, and it's been a fantastic journey. Thank you, Chris Galanzis. Thank you, mate. Wish
Thank you
very good
much.
Health.
No worries. Cheers for the opportunity.
Yes,
our pleasure.
Yes,
no call! Score! Salamidi for Cole. Cole on the run. Shoots. 2-0.
Lozanowski with the free kick. Launches a rocket! Trimboli, what vision!
Marth blasts.
Here's
Mazanic.
They haven't. They might have won it.
The Pioneers with George Denikian and George Kotsanis on FNR Football Nation Radio.